Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Forge D20. I am your game master for Tales of Lothrien, Zach. And last time, tasked by the nobleman Devlin Miller, Moros Omenborn, Sir Lionel, also known as Lloyd, Dalcom Goldstrike, and Unit 2814 infiltrated the Ember Enclave production facility to uncover details about a mysterious automaton project. But getting in wasn't an easy effort, as Skywatch enforcers guarded the entrance and docks where road auto transports were docked and being loaded. Leveraging his Skywatch credentials, Unit 2814 deceived his way inside, but obviously not without suspicion. A sergeant bot probed his thoughts before granting passage, uttering some interesting words. "You are of our designation." Meanwhile, the rest of the party took to the skies, quite literally, when Dalcom's ability to fly came into play as he first removed his armor, flew Lloyd to the top of the building, then flew Moros back up. But as they landed on the rooftop, they were spotted by a scrying eye that immediately raised the alarm. Meanwhile, inside, Unit 2814 discovered shipping records linking automaton shipments to the Elicorian Kingdom under the name of Savius. Further investigation led him into Savius's office, where a revelation awaited that Savius had smuggled an assassin, one who follows Sarkat, the god of death and justice, back to the mainland of Elicor after murdering him. Worse yet, Savius was assembling an army of automatons preparing for war and invasion of the mainland of Lothrienth after dispatching of Eflar. Acting quickly, Unit 2814 grabbed the hard drive from the Arcanical computer just as the alarms blared that there were intruders on the rooftop. With their cover blown, the rooftop team made a risky jump off the building, only to realize that guards were beginning to storm inside the facility, where they followed a pair of two guards who went inside and were battling Unit 2814. And after fighting a fierce battle and dismantling the automatons piece by piece, the final blow delivered by one Moros Omenborn gave way to a horrifying discovery as he cleaved an automaton in half. A writhing Mind Flayer worm emerged from its remains. And for Unit 2814, it clicked what those ominous words of our designation means. So, with that, as the alarms are blaring and footsteps of the automatons are beginning to approach, immediately, Unit 2814 and Lloyd bolt off. I'm going to assume that you two follow, correct, Moros and Dalcom?
Correct.
Hell yeah.
As you guys go outside and start running, you look around. You do not see your comrades. Your comrades are gone. Very fast. But you decide you have two choices. You can go left, which takes you further back to the warehouse, or you can go right, which will take you to the main streets and give you potentially quicker access to the alleyways. What do you want to do?
I'm thinking right, but Dalcom can have pushbacks.
I think we cut through the alleys. I think we cut through the alleyways and we try to lose them in there.
Okay. As you all sprint to the right, you try to peek around the corner of the main street that the production facility is located on. Can I have you guys both roll me a perception check, please?
Oh my god. What'd you get? I need to change my dice.
You're not. Nat 20.
That's a 21. Nice.
What did I say?
No way.
Nat 20, baby.
Nat 20 for Moros. Moros, you look around.
Putting on the cheating dice.
You look behind you. You can hear that the footsteps of the automatons are coming closer to go outside, but you look and you don't see any patrols on the street. And you see a moment where you could cut straight across the street into an alleyway and potentially hide for a moment.
Okay, I grab Dalcom and I head for that exact spot.
As you all...
I snatch him.
As you snatch Dalcom and you begin to run for this alleyway, I want you to make a stealth check, both of you, for me, please.
Right now.
Oh my god, I have the same thing! What the fuck?
19, baby.
Don't worry, Moros Omenborn's here to help. As you begin to navigate the alley, you try to finagle your way through buildings, and you find a nice spot where you can see this, like, it looks really interesting because you're in these, like, very Victorian Gothic-looking city, but you see these random, like, bars of metal just kind of hanging maybe, like, 25 feet in the air, and then you hear this large whirring sound. And it gets so loud, and then you see on this metal bar, there is some sort of vehicle rushing right by. And as it rushes by, you've never seen anything like this before in its design. It's very sleek and aerodynamic, with a pointed front, with a pink kind of like glass, like on the front, kind of covering this vehicle. And it just goes right by. And as it finally passes by, you can see behind there's this screen of some kind. And on this screen, you see the words "braking." And it begins to move to the left. Then you see the words "wanted" right next to it. First, you see a picture of Sir Lionel. Then you see a picture of Dalcom, Moros, and Sir Lionel, all staring at the scrying eye like, what the fuck is going on? And then it fades out into showing potential accomplice, and it shows Unit 2814. Word is spreading quickly that you all are wanted criminals.
Either we're famous, or that is not good news. Tell me, Dalcom, what does the word say on the...
Not good news. Very, very bad news. Very bad news. It says wanted. We are wanted. We're criminals now. Great. Oh, great. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This is bad.
I think we need to go as quickly as possible and find the others. But we need to get away from here first. Then reunite with them.
Yep, yep, this is not good, not good, not good. I'm going to grab out of my bag a large brown cloak that I have as part of my traveler's clothes set. And I'm going to throw that on over myself.
Ooh. Trying to disguise yourself in a way?
Nope, I'm just trying to, like, hide my being a like, steel blue raven. It's kind of, and you stand out.
Okay.
So I'm trying to just hide my feathers a bit.
Gotcha. Understood.
And, like, my beak.
Okay. Just roll me
I look at Dalcom.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Nope, go ahead.
I look at Dalcom as he does that, and I go to do the same, but then I think about it, and I reach up and touch my horns. Yeah, there's no fucking point.
Oh, yeah, you fucking deer antlers. Yeah, God. All right, what do you need me to roll?
Deception, please.
Not my best stat, you know?
You're bound That's to have at least one good roll.
Hey,
see, you can have one good one. You have two bad ones.
Two bad ones, yep.
You get the cloak
swapped dice
covered. You can mostly get, obviously your beak's going to peek out a little bit, but you can hide the color of your feathers with the shadows. And as this happens, you begin to feel trickles. As it begins to rain. And the neon colors of the streets of Eflar begin to have this atmospheric look to it. You know that you probably can't stay here for long because you hear the sound of footsteps and puddles that are running, coming in your direction, but you are not spotted, but you can tell that the automatons might be catching up to you soon. What do you do?
We need to go.
Gotta keep moving. Must keep moving.
Let's keep moving further away.
Okay, so there's a couple of options you can do to keep moving away. You could either scale to the rooftops, or you could keep running on the city streets, or you could try to find a sewer. What do you guys want to do?
Quick question. How alive is this area? Do these homes look lived in and, like, well-maintained?
These appear to be more businesses than they do homes, and most of them are already closed for the evening. You can tell that the people are kind of scarce. I mean, you've seen, like, a couple of people walk by, but you can tell that this isn't a busy area this time of day.
Mm. All right, then never mind if it's a business, no. You'd probably have some sort of security system up. All right, then I'm for staying on the ground. I think if we get up, we're going to expose ourselves to some kind of flying unit.
You say stay on the ground?
Yeah, I
agree.
I'm for
being I don't want to go up and get exposed, and I'm not exactly advantageous to scaling rooftops and jumping across them.
Yeah.
And in fact, and let me ask you this.
Nope.
Would you take the sewers, or would you think that is an option? I don't know how I feel about the sewers, but I feel like we either have to stay on the ground level here, or we have to go in the sewers, or we can hide in one of those businesses. But if we go into a business,
I think
there's an alarm. We don't do that. We keep moving.
I think we keep moving. I think we stay on the ground until we get to the next district, and then we try to dip into the sewers.
Okay. Yep. I'm with you.
So.
All right.
All right. Yep. That is our plan.
So you guys decide to make a break for it. You're running throughout the city streets. You can see off in the distance there's some people looking at the big giant sign saying that you guys are wanted, but no one seems to be noticed yet, but you can hear them kind of like mutter to themselves, oh, fuck is going on now? But you are running through, and you eventually reach the districts where you don't see these large industrial-looking buildings anymore. You see these more like apartment-like structures, like these multi-housing units. You can tell that you're probably in a residential district of some kind now, as the foot traffic here has definitely increased by quite a bit. You are still in the alleyway, because obviously Moros would stick out like a sore thumb, but this is where you've reached a new district.
I guess we try to make a perception check to find the nearest sewer entrance.
Yes, go ahead and you can both roll me a perception check.
Right. Are you fucking kidding me? What are my rolls tonight?
Ooh, a five.
That's a natural one. Dice are failing me today.
Please, Moros.
Let's go, 14.
Moros, you see about a 1.5 to 2 foot wide hole that is just like a metal slate kind of sitting on the ground. It looks like on the sides there are two little indentations where someone would try to like lift this up potentially. This could be a way to the water system, the sewer system.
Yep. I take the manhole cover off the ground and I tell Calvin, get in there.
I'm going to help him with this.
Roll with advantage. A 9, and what is your advantage roll? A 22.
22.
You, with impeccable technique, lift this manhole cover off the ground and instruct Dalcom to go under. And as you all do, you put the manhole cover on, and then, maybe 15 seconds after you put the manhole cover back on, you can hear doom, 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 doom. You can assume those metal-sounding footsteps were the footsteps of an automaton who is on the hunt for you guys, and you just narrowly escaped them.
Well, That was close. Hopefully no more of that. We can just get out of here, no. Like rabbits.
Rabbit? What? Why rabbits? When did you pick rabbits?
I said rats.
I thought you said rabbits, my bad. I heard rabbits.
Are you hungry, perhaps? Do you need me to go and hunt you down for rabbits?
I have food. I have food. Other thing I have. Forgot completely. Reaches into his bag, and he's gonna pull out the other wig his sergeant wears, and he's gonna stick it on top of Morris's head, and he's gonna reach back in, and he's gonna pull out the fake mustache and beard he wears, too. Here you go.
I put it on.
Alright.
No arguments. Morris looks at it, he makes kind of a face.
It's all brown hair. This is all, like, this is all much more natural looking. The sergeant didn't think it fit his aesthetics, so he doesn't wear them. And then Dalcom took them.
Touches his face and his head with it on. How do I look?
Stupid, but it'll do.
All right. Well,
let's go.
My father used to always tell me stupid is as stupid does. So off we go then.
Right. Let's head on down to the fucking sewers.
As you get deeper and deeper to the sewers, when you initially got in, you don't see the waterways and stuff, but after walking about for 30 feet and you get closer and closer and closer, the smell of pungent fecal matter begins to hit your nose as you finally reach the opening of the sewer, this seemingly endless maze of passageways with 5-foot-wide walkways on each side and about a 10-foot-wide river of murky brown water going upstream in a certain direction. You look left, and you look right. You see that basically how this looks is at the end of the walkways, there are these cages blocking you from obviously going into there. Now, there are some doors kind of spread about, but they are blocked off by this, like, pink translucent kind of like magic barrier. And you can also see that the pink translucent magic barriers are on the walkways about 30 feet on both sides. So you'll need to somehow bypass these magic barriers to get deeper and deeper into the sewer.
Do they go up to the ceiling?
They do. They kind of form a shape around the ceiling.
Got you.
I don't have Arcana, so I wouldn't know anything about that.
Morris will take a stab at it. He'll try to understand it. He'll stare at it. Do a little Arcana check, I guess, if that's a thing.
Yeah, roll me an Arcana check.
Yeah, Morris is just going to stare at it, and he's going to squint at it really hard. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is.
You look up and down the door, magic barrier thing, and you don't see how you could disarm this, but you turn to the right, and on the wall on the right-hand side, you see a sequence of runes. And as you turn away, Dalcom, you see first a small, short, hooded figure on the other side who looks at each of you. Their face obscured by shadow. You need help?
Well, we could use help. Yep, help would be nice. Very nice.
Good. Places his hand on the wall and begins to mutter an incantation of some sort. Do either of you speak Celestial?
I do.
He says, by Eflar's grace, drop this barrier. And you can see that the barrier begins to drop. And you see the hooded figure, he begins to grasp at the hood of his cloak. And he removes it. And it's Bibble.
Oh!
Oh my god! Moros immediately grabs Bibble and squeezes him. Oh, Bibble!
Dalcom's staring at him. His head's turned and his eyes are squinted.
Oh, thank the gods. Bibble. Oh, I'm in your debt. You probably don't recognize me, but Moros kind of removes part of the disguise. I'm Moros Omenborn.
I could tell.
Why do you know Celestial?
Why do you sound like this?
Why do I know Celestial? Yes. Devlin makes me do a lot of studying. Says it's good for intelligence purposes.
Why do you suffer? You know.
Huh? Could you repeat that? Sorry. He's hugging me pretty tight.
Is that the only phrase you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good.
Why?
It would be rude if you knew any more.
Oh, okay. Well, in his spell books, he showed me how to take down these barriers, so makes my job a little easier, and you guys are, to be honest, making my job a little harder.
The scrying eyes would have been nice to know about, that's for sure.
Did you not scout the facility before you went in?
Couldn't really do that. There's too many guards. There were a bunch of guards with worms on their heads.
Facility, I mean.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Do Sir Lionel and I seem like the kind of gentlemen to scout anything, really?
Well, no, but maybe going forward that'd be a good idea, right?
If it was Lloyd and not Sir Lionel, he probably would have, but he's going insane, I think.
You mean going insane? He's a perfectly sane gentleman. He knows he's Lloyd.
Are you sure he knows he's Lloyd?
He's a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Who is Lloyd? I only know Moros, Dalcom, Sir Lionel, and the cop.
Lloyd is Sir Lionel. It's his real name.
Oh.
Maybe not real. It might be his ex-web name. I don't actually know if it's his real name.
Devlin chose an interesting group of gentlemen. Yes, what about Sir Lionel?
Have you seen Sir Lionel or Unit 2814, perhaps, because we were separated at some point?
No, but I'm glad I found you two. Devlin's got eyes on the ground looking for the other two, but give me a second, actually. He touches his ear, and as he touches his ear, you see this green stone that's kind of embedded in his ear. Devlin, I got Moros and Dalcom. Sir Lionel and the cop, they're still unaccounted for. I'll make sure that the other spies in the streets are looking for them. He just nods. You don't hear the response, but he nods and says, got it. Yeah, we got eyes on the ground looking for him, but no dice. Sorry.
They disappeared too quick. I don't understand. They vanished.
Yeah, they probably busted ass when they realized that the alarms were going off and the Ember Enclave doesn't play about security.
Not possible. They went through the door right before us and we rounded the corner out the door and they weren't there. They were gone.
Interesting.
Not enough time. It definitely didn't feel like enough time.
Weird. Well, this is a weird city full of magic.
You think the weather has something to do with it?
Magic. I think it was magic. I definitely felt like magic.
Dalcom, do you think the web may have had something to do with it?
Could be the web.
They are searching for Lloyd.
Could very much be the web. The web might... Oh, no.
Well...
Don't panic yet.
It could be good.
I think the web, I believe, is working with the from what they've told me, the web might be working with the Mind Flayers. And the city is also working with them because it had the wormy things.
Wait, what? Well, stop. What had the worm things? What are you, a mind
flare? The robots did.
Bibble. Inside what? The Warforged Automatons, the city guard, during the fight, I bisected one. And out came crawling a mind flare tadpole. I stomped it out. I witnessed it. Dalton witnessed it, Sir Lionel, and 2814. This is very, very important information. We must get back to Devlin.
Lloyd might not be safe with the cop, with 2814.
We need to find Sir Lionel.
If all the robots have him, what if it's in...
We need to find Sir Lionel. He's in great danger if he's with 2814. We need to find Lloyd now!
My only is 2814 was helping us, even to the end, so... Maybe not. He might be okay. He might be good. He might not have a worm. He might be an earlier batch. I don't know.
Or he could just be a ticking time bomb. Maybe he even took
Lloyd
to get.
Could be that too. That could be really bad. But then why would he run? Why would he not just get us? I don't know. 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 I don't know.
Get a hold of yourself, man. And Moros like shakes him a little bit. Get a hold of yourself.
We're gonna be fine.
Clusterfuck.
We need to get out of these fucking sewers. Back to Devlin Miller, where we have some safe house. And from there, let him know about the information that we just gave Bibble. And then we need to find Lloyd as soon as possible. He could be captured by Mind Flayers, captured by the City Guard, or captured by the Web. I don't know which of the three is worse. But he is in great danger. And if 2814 is still our ally, he is as well.
All right. Oh, one second. He puts his hand on his ear again. Understood, sir. Takes his hand off. All right. I'm going to take you to Devlin. He's at a abandoned train station from back before the Aflaran Civil War. He uses it as a place to get the spies together so that we can meet in case of emergencies. I'll take you there. It's a bit of a walk, though, at least from here in the sewers.
It's fine. We're probably safer down here.
Yeah. About that. I'm not so sure about that. There are, Well, let's just say Arcanium is quite the interesting substance, as it caused some mutations in some creatures when, the Enclave was doing testing on it. You know, arcane technology.
Are there a lot? Are there a lot of them?
Well, I didn't see anything here, but at least on my way here.
If they're not as many as the guard, then it's safer down here.
That's true. That's real true. Just, stay close. And, if you hear anything, let me know.
Alright. And while we're walking, I'm gonna take this time to mold my maul into a glaive, which is just gonna change the damage type to slashing.
Moro sees this, and you kind of see him do a double take as it happens. He watches it, looks away, looks back. When did you learn how to do that? When did you get that?
Alcum looks at you confused.
Learn to do what?
Your weapon. It you changed it.
Is that not normal?
Morris looks at his greatsword.
Change, damn it, change! And he's like shaking the shit out of it.
Let me try. And he's gonna offer you the glaive, and he's gonna try to
and he's going to hold out his hand for your sword.
He takes the glaive, hands you the sword.
All right, and he's going to try, and he's going to fail to mold your sword. But I don't know.
Moros tries to mold the glaive.
Nothing happens.
Moros looks at.
I understand. Your sword really likes being a sword. It likes being your sword. Here you go.
No. Oh. Moros kind of. Well, your glaive really likes being your glaive, whatever the hell it is, and he hands it over to you and takes his great sword back. And he looks at his great sword. You like being my sword. I will remember this. He puts his great sword back.
It's a bit harder, but the one on your back, it seems proud.
Morris like kind of like looks over his shoulder. I need to fix that badly.
It's not as clear, but it's like staring across the room at someone and getting like a read of them. But when I hold them, I can kind of hear their voice and tell you more.
That would be nice. When did you learn
noisy.
Ability to speak with weapons?
How old am I?
He looks down at his hands and starts counting.
7 years ago.
That's a number I can count to. Interesting.
Yep, I've been able to do it since I was born.
Some sort of natural gift that you have, I see.
Yep.
Well, it is a good gift.
Yep.
Do all weapons have their own will, perhaps?
Some more than others. Like mine is very. Mine is special in. I can't understand it. It's like it's not there yet. If that makes sense. Which is weird, because most have a voice from forging. I don't know why mine doesn't. Most seem to reflect their creators. Or those who have wielded it for a very long time.
Well, Dalcom, if the road ever leads to a place where we can learn more about your weapon and why it is different, I would very much like to see where that road goes. I see now that I have underestimated you. I do not think you are as simple as I thought. And I don't mean that in a degrading way. I don't mean that in your intelligence. I mean in your goals, perhaps in your life.
No, my life is pretty simple. Pretty simple. You're pretty spot on. Woke up, had a family, got sent to a clerical order, no longer have a family. That was sad. Came here, met you. Life's pretty simple, pretty straightforward.
No, not complicated at all. Much easier than mine and much, much easier than Lloyd's. I still don't understand how he got here.
How far are we now, Bibble?
Well, we just reached where the sewer conjoins for this district of the city. And you can see that you enter a room with a bunch of pipes and levers, and there's even four columns sticking out in a giant pool of shit water. Can you guys roll me perception check real quick, please?
Yeah.
Law of averages here, Dalton. You're due one.
No, I'm not.
Law of averages. I was 29. I had a bad roll tonight. That was it. Right there. That's my bad roll.
Bibble, help.
I can't help you.
Wait, you don't have dark vision, do you? Oh, no, you're a tiefling. Yes, you do.
I have dark vision.
It's Lloyd who doesn't have dark vision.
I think the coast is clear. I don't see anything. Come on. This way. He leads you on the left-hand side where you see there's a passageway about, give or take, 50 feet in front of Bibble. But immediately, as Bibble goes halfway across, it's too quick for you all to even react. Lurking,
oh my God,
and jumping out of the water is some sort of crocodile that has a green skin and pink crystals forming out of its body, and it has pink crystals for teeth, and it begins to jump at Bibble, and it's going to get a round of surprise on Sir Bibble.
Oh no! Moro screams, Bibble, no!
No!
Oh, bloody hell. I'm trying to get Bibble's HP up in here.
In our time walking here, would you have considered that a short rest since we got down into the sewers?
Absolutely, it's a short rest.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
Perfect.
You guys are just walking. I mean, you guys weren't doing anything serious. All right, so let's see. 9 plus, this is just a multi-attack.
1d8.
9 plus 8 is 17. That is going to hit Bibble. It is going to do
8 HP. 10
plus 5. Ooh, Bibble got lucky. 6 points of damage on the bite attack. And then it is going to... What's the other attack it can do? It'll do a tail slam attack. As it'll bite into him. Oh, hold on. Oh, so Bibble is grappled in the teeth of the jaws of the fucking crocodile, the arcane crocodile. So he is restrained. He is now going to try to chop down on him a little harder with his second and final attack.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, it's surprise, so I wouldn't get a reaction. Never mind.
And then that deals some damage. 9 plus 5 is 14. As Bibble is... he begins to... his arm is caught in it. You bastard! And that is where we're going to start rolling initiative, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Yeah.
Let's see.
Well, for Moros Omenborn.
Fucking 5. Dude. What are these rolls?
And the crocodile rolled a fucking 19.
He's gonna do a death roll.
Oh, it's but Bibble got an even higher roll, which is good. He got a 22.
Okay, Bibble, get out of the grapple.
Look where I am. Look where I am with no armor on. I'm fucked.
Get away from him.
Oh my God. All right, Bibble. Bibble can only get out of it through a strength check. So he's going to roll use his main action to try to get out of the hold. Ooh, he rolled a 17. Plus 1 is 18, which is just enough to get out of the grapple. So you see him get off the grapple, and he's going to now pull out this... he's going to pull out something from his side. It appears to be a smaller version of that rail gun that you saw Graham use when you were ambushed by Graham, Moros. This looks like a handheld version of it. And it's this sleek, black, it's obviously like a gun with like pink accents all over it, and he's going to start pointing it at the creature. But that is going to be his turn. It is now the crocodile's turn again, and it is now going to try to go after... it's going to use its tail to whip at Dalcom, and then it's going to try to bite on Bibble once more. Bibble. All right, so the crocodile rolled a 23 to hit. And you're going 23. To take 2d8. 3. You're going to take 15 points of bludgeoning damage. And then I need you to make me a strength saving throw, please.
All right. Strength saving throw.
Yep.
And how much damage was it again?
13. 20. Nice, you succeed.
13.
And then it's going to try to bite Bibble. Ooh, yeah, that doesn't hit. A 10. As it tries to bite at it, and Bibble moves out of the way, and as he dodges, he lifts his hand up to point the gun at it. That's going to be the crocodile's turn. It is now Moros Omenborn's turn.
All right. Moros is going to circle around to the other side of the creature. Like right here. He ain't going to get in the water, but he's going to be like just outside of the water.
Yep.
And then he's going to... does this count as an animal?
Yeah, it's an animal. It's just mutated.
Can I do a quick insight check to see if it would have any sort? Would it have its mind? Like, would I be able to tell if it's not crazed by whatever's going on with it?
Yeah, roll me an insight check. Or nature, your choice.
15.
15. No, it doesn't appear to be. It just looks like a really hungry, because it's, you notice its stature is very skinny for any sort of crocodile or alligator-esque creature that you've seen. It looks a little bit on the skinnier side. It's just hungry.
I cast Speak with Animals.
Oh! Okay, you can use your main action to cast Speak with Animals. What are you going to tell the creature?
Hold, friend. We are not food, but we can give you some. Easy now. Easy. I hold out my hands. I put my greatsword behind me, and I put my hands out. Easy now. We can give you food. Just let us pass.
Roll me an animal handling check or persuasion check. Your choice.
Oh, baby! Let's go!
It growls at you, Moros, as it tilts its head and looks at you.
You say you're going to feed me. You better hold up on your end of the bargain, or your short-statured friend will be my next snack.
Easy now, just let us go. And I start reaching into my bag very slowly, and I pull out a, like, week's worth of rations. I hold it very gently away from him. I say, back up now, nice and slow, let them go.
You think a week's worth of your rations are enough to feed me, boy?
They're going to have to be. Because if not, I'm going to cut your fucking head off, and you're not going to be eating anything anymore. I'm a knight of the Wild Hunt, and I am not to be trifled with. I'm giving you an opportunity to live here.
Roll me an intimidation check, Knight of the Wild Hunt.
Can I get advantage for my badass nat 20 earlier?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, I'm so glad I asked. 17.
It breathes out of its nose.
Fine, but I suggest you be hasty before I change my mind.
I throw the week's worth of rations like 20 feet behind his ass in the opposite direction. And then I immediately say to the other two,
now, quickly, vaso rapido.
And you see it start chasing after the rations.
I cut it as soon as it runs away. I'm kidding. I don't cut it. He provokes an attack of opportunity. He's fucked.
All right. As you all run deeper and deeper into the sewers, you all just run straight forward. And you come at a crossroads. You can go to the left. You can go north is a dead end. You see it's about 60 feet away from you. And to the right, you can see a passageway that veers off to the left.
Which way, Bibble? Which way do we go?
Mm-hmm. We're going to go to the right. But there's some abandoned goods to the left, if that's something that piques your interest, but I come down here quite much.
It's not good. You say
we
goods?
Have places to be.
Fine. My curiosity will not be satisfied.
All right. Come on. Let me lead you guys. As you all slowly walk through the passageways of the sewer, eventually passing down some steps that descend down, we're almost there where we need to be. And he looks up over here in this little 10-foot by 10-foot chamber. You can see a ladder going up. Right above here is the abandoned train station. It's not used by the Aflarn government anymore. But, yeah, sorry, I'm rambling. I'm a little shaken up after that fucking crocodile bit my arm. Thanks for the help.
Makes a lot of sense.
Thanks for the help, by the way, on that. I owe you my life.
Morris walks up to him and places a hand on Bibble's shoulders and says, "Easy now. You'll be just fine." And then casts lay on hands.
TV.
I cast lay on hands for however much damage he took.
Okay. It's 20.
That's my entire lay on hands. I give him the whole thing.
Thank you, Moros. And don't worry about the TV. Honestly, it was kind of fun.
He still thinks it was a bomb.
I can't believe you thought that television was a bomb. You know what? I've been way too serious all my life, and seeing you guys, it makes me feel a little bit more lighthearted than I usually am.
I still don't know what the hell a TV is, but I'm glad you're alive.
It's the thing you thought was a bomb.
It was a bomb.
It was not.
It was
not a bomb.
It didn't explode because it was faulty.
Then why, when I fixed it, did it not explode again?
It was a dud. It was a dud. It was never going to explode.
The only dud here is you.
Faulty in manufacturing. You know, I just spent all that time complimenting you back there, and then you go and say something like that.
Yep. You think a TV was a bomb?
Well, it's probably foreign to him. I mean, how long have you been in the city, Moros? He starts climbing the ladder.
Days? I'm not really much of a city person in general. It's only been a few weeks that I've even been in society.
Really? Only a few weeks?
Months, rather. But not a lot of time.
Well, I guess this will be a nice change of pace for you, then.
He traveled with an undead pool that killed my family.
What the fuck?
Moral starts cut.
Traveled with an undead pool, killed my family.
What an interesting way to put things. What an interesting way to put things, truly.
You
didn't
my little brother.
I did not know he was a giant bull that killed her family. Well, I did. Okay. Scratch that. I did know. I didn't know it was your family, though. I didn't know it was your family.
Nope. Well, I know. And that's why. I know the woods. I know how they are. That's why I did not kill you when I met you.
Well, you guys are quite the interesting ragtag group. I swear I learned more about you guys.
You think I'm fun? You should see more of the Knights of Olteus. They are very interesting.
I promise you.
Ellie especially. Ellie is very great.
I'm going to pluck your feathers. I'm going to pluck them.
He still needs to apologize for eating my little brother.
I'm sorry. What?
Keep climbing. Keep climbing. Keep climbing. Enough nonsense. Keep climbing.
Yeah.
Dalcom is going to fill in Gibble on our way there. on the whole situation.
Dude,
and explain what the Whispering Woods are to him and how they work.
That sounds
honestly who
fucked.
But who would raise their family in these woods? Honestly, if you know what they could do, who would raise their family in these woods? It's like you're asking to be eaten by Sir Lionel.
We are only a hunted species. We were there for our protection because the woods don't bother us.
Well, they certainly bother anyone who goes in them.
You all weren't supposed to be there. That's the point of the woods, to keep you out.
The wild hunt. The woods are exactly where I'm supposed to be.
That's why you didn't get taken over by them. Only your friend did.
Moros' eyes get wide and his mouth drops a little bit. He's like in a little bit of awe. I never thought of it like that. Oh. Wild Mother. Preserve us. This is...
Yep.
This is eye-opening to me. Well, I'm glad I wasn't affected. Then maybe more than your brother would have gotten eaten. And that would not be good, would it?
Nope. Would have been very bad. Very, very bad. Not fun. Not fun at all.
Didn't someone live, your mother? I thought... Someone escaped. I'm almost certain I saved someone.
They escaped there. They probably died somewhere else.
Gods, I hope not. I really worked hard on saving that one life.
Yeah, well,
to be fair, I did kill the bull. He just came back seconds later after being knocked out of this state.
Dalcom kind of lags behind with Bibble and lets Moros keep walking, and he looks at Bibble and points at Moros and does like the loony bin spin with his fingers.
Yeah, you guys are quite an interesting group.
You know, Bibble, you've been doing an awful lot of fucking laughing tonight.
Of what?
Let me ask you something. Is there a fucking clown down here in these sewers?
Hmm? A clown? No.
Yeah, do you see one around here? Because I don't either.
Uh-huh.
Big ol' enters.
What did Dalcom just say? Repeat that for a second. Hunter didn't hear it.
Yes, he's got big ol' antlers.
Mm. He's got big ol' antlers. Really?
Yep, it's... You know what? I'll save the story for another time.
I'm surprised you don't see the clown that has all the feathers on it.
Well, no, I do. I just recognize he's me.
Moros wants to strangle you right now. He's like making a face, like he's just like... You see his face all scrunched up. He's like, let's keep moving, please, gods.
This is for earlier in Devlin's mansion.
Huh. Well, speaking of Devlin, here we are. And you see this very large, abandoned, run-down train station. The track on the left-hand side is completely destroyed, eviscerated by the collapsing cave walls around you all. The right side is less so much damaged, but still damaged nonetheless, and sitting on a surprisingly intact bench, sipping a cup of tea, wearing a cloak with the hood down and a very formal Eflorin outfit, standing next to Sir Lionel and Unit 2814, is Devlin Miller, who turns. Ah, we've been awaiting your arrival. And that's where we'll end tonight's session, boys. I do want to thank everyone for tuning into this episode of Tales of Lodrienth. Want to give a special shout out to our patrons on Patreon, Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. I also want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to an hour of our podcast. It means the absolute world to me that you're taking the time out of your day to do so. And if you reached all the way to the end of this video, I know that you're going to be here for the long term. And I can't even conjure up words to describe how much that means to me. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I hope that you do me a favor and take it easy.